I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
President Biden stepping up the pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to protect civilians and get more humanitarian aid into Gaza. Biden warned that the situation is unacceptable, and Israel appears to be responding, opening more routes for aid to get through. We're going to talk to the president's top communications advisor for national security. Our chief White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, starts us off. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, George. Well, this is a critical moment in the U.S. relationship with Israel. Now, 6 months into this war, and the Biden administration is now dramatically shifting its tone, telling Israel it has not done enough to limit humanitarian suffering and warning if they do not change course, there will be consequences.
There will be consequences. There are some changes, as you heard, after that phone call that took place yesterday between President Biden and Bibi, Benjamin Netanyahu, that they are allowing more aid convoy routes to go into Gaza. They would have done them earlier, very simply, if Hamas would just simply release more prisoners. Israel is bending a little bit here, but don't believe that they are actually buying fully into, we'll just let everything continue, and we're not looking for additional inroads and opportunities to get to Hamas. They're not going to stop until they get Hamas. I don't want them to stop until they finish off Hamas. But if you listen to the state-controlled media, look how Biden whipped the Israelis back. Well, I thought we were supposed to be good close friends and everything. That action that they were talking about in that ABC report with George Stephanopoulos, Snuffanopoulos, as in the Muppets, simply stating that they're going to allow more convoys in, and they've always been willing to do that, but they want something in return that would be more hostages released. There are a lot of details behind this that we probably do not have at this point, and I don't know when we will, if we will ever. But I'm not really amazed. It's just that it continues to just fascinate me. Let me put it that way, how the state-controlled media can take something and make it look like a victory for Biden. Now, we're going to spend more time on that issues about Biden and any victories he has, and even the First Lady's response to anyone who thinks he's not a winning president in our second segment. But the subject right now in this segment, dealing with Israel and Hamas, and not turning our back on Israel. But I got a statement coming up from Secretary of State Blinken, who's also Jewish, that almost suggests Hamas and Israel are two peas in a pod. They both have the same attitude. Really? Really? All right, we'll get it set up for you. First of all, glad to have you here for April 5, 2024, the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. Back-to-back right here for you, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. When we're on the air, we're streaming video. News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. You miss anything, audio or video, and you want to pull it up, listen, watch again, share with others, LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. You'll find what you want. I want to take a moment to acknowledge you. Last night I was with the St. Louis City GOP. They're a small group right now from what I was able to address, but I can tell they're fervent about trying to make sure they find some way to get control of St. Louis City from the Democrats. I certainly wish them all the luck possible. But they're supporting not only what the efforts are of the GOP inside St. Louis City, but the state and on the national level. So again, it's my pleasure to visit with them. I had a chance to talk to a few and answer some questions. I do these from time to time. It's very hard to get booked. It took a good 3+ months to get this one set up. It's not that I'm really so busy, but I do have a schedule that kind of keeps me moving. So it's pretty hard to set something up that I don't want to disappoint by not showing up. But again, I enjoyed it. All right, let's go back to the Secretary of State Blinken. As he begins his opening remarks in reference to Israel dealing with Hamas, you're already beginning to get an underlying message just in his opening.
I traveled to Israel in the days immediately following the horrific attacks of October 7th. And I made clear then the commitment of the United States to Israel's security and to ensuring that October 7th could never happen again. I also underscored Israel's moral, strategic, and legal requirements to protect civilians and provide humanitarian assistance to those who needed it.
We all want to provide humanitarian aid to the innocents, especially the children. No one wants to see children suffering, much less dying, even if they are PLO, Palestinian, maybe grow up to be Hamas. At this time, they're a child, a chance to maybe reshape them, turn them away from a life of being a terrorist. But I'm looking at one of the responses already that dealt specifically with the point I was making about Israel needs something in return, like hostages being released. So now that this has been announced, the White House acting like, oh, we put pressure on, we're going to have more aid going in, which on one hand I'm glad and thankful, and I'm sure on one hand Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government is more than glad to show they're helping the civilians, but we cannot guarantee it's going to the civilians, and especially the children. And Israel is now apparently saying, or rather the report coming out, that Hamas is rejecting an Israeli proposal on hostages. They're not going to let any of them go if they don't have to. If they can have Israel bow to the White House pressure and world pressure, they don't have to do anything. They can continue to battle against Israel and remain in the fight and get others to join them and continue to use children as shields. Don't forget that part of the equation. But when you listen again, when we go back to Secretary Blinken, he is almost suggesting, Israel is just as bad as Hamas.
Now, of course, what happened after October 7th could have ended immediately if Hamas had stopped hiding behind civilians, released the hostages, and put down its weapons. But Israel is not Hamas. Israel is a democracy. Hamas, a terrorist organization. And democracies place the highest value on human life, every human life. As has been said, whoever saves a life saves the entire world. That's our strength. It's what distinguishes us from terrorists like Hamas. If we lose that reverence for human life, we risk becoming indistinguishable from those we confront.
And there it is, suggesting Israel has lost its value for human life, so it's becoming like Hamas because of, one, killing these aid workers the other day, which was not the intent, and Israel has responded by an investigation and firing at least three commanders, officers, for their role in hitting a target that was all civilians, no Hamas members. But I want to remind you again, they could claim there was a Hamas member in their midst, and no one could deny it. I mean, you could, but I mean, you couldn't prove it one way or the other. They're vaporized at this point. But you are hearing from the World Kitchen Organization lost their aid workers, and certainly a loss of life of innocents in particular trying to be avoided, but it's war. And innocent people are being caught in the middle. But here's Secretary Blinken suggesting Israel becoming like Hamas. And again, I told you from the beginning, once Biden said, we're with you, we'll stand here with you, you watch the daylight begin to spread between them, and it's getting wider every day. And then you have Bernie Sanders, independent, votes Democrat. And he's saying, you know, Israel has gotten so bad. Well, let me put it this way. Jake Tapper of CNN asked a question and Bernie's response.
Secretary of State Blinken today said that if the U.S. does not see changes to protect civilians in Gaza, there, quote, will be changes in our own policy, unquote. Do you believe them? I mean, I feel like we've been hearing this for a while.
Well, I think you make a good point, Jake. Look, the bottom line is we are looking at one of the worst humanitarian disasters that we have seen in a very, very long time. We're literally, at this moment, looking at hundreds of thousands of children starving to death because Israel is not allowing the humanitarian trucks into Gaza, and especially into the areas where people are in most desperate condition. To my mind, Israel should not be getting another nickel in military aid until these policies are fundamentally changed. So if, you know, my view is no more military aid to Israel when children in Gaza are starving.
Do you want to say the same thing, reference more money for Ukraine? Because you know kids in Ukraine are also probably starving. You want to talk to other countries or starving people that we're sending money to? Hugh Hewitt of Salem Network had Donald Trump on and was talking about his commitment to Israel.
But you are still standing 100% with Israel. You achieved the Abraham Accords, which was the first peace deal since Sadat. And so are you still 100% with Israel? And what's your advice to Netanyahu beyond get it over with in a hurry?
Well, that's all the advice you can give. I mean, that's the advice. You got to get it over with and you have to get back to normalcy. And I'm not sure that I'm loving the way they're doing it because you got to have victory. You have to have a victory. And it's taking a long time. And the other thing is I hate they put out tapes all the time. Every night they're releasing tapes of a building falling down. They shouldn't be releasing tapes like that. They're doing, that's why they're losing the PR war. Israel is absolutely losing the PR war.
That's how I read your interview. I read your interview as saying they're losing the PR war. They've got to stop releasing bad video and win the war by going into Rafah.
They're releasing the most heinous, most horrible tapes of buildings falling down. And people are imagining there's a lot of people in those buildings or people in those buildings. And they don't like it. And I don't know why they release, you know, wartime shots like that. I guess it makes them look tough. But to me, it doesn't make them look tough. They're losing the PR war. And they're losing it big. But they got to finish what they started and they got to finish it fast. And we have to get on with life.
Now, that part, I agree with the president, former president. And he may be right about Israel's losing the PR war. And maybe they should not be showing the devastation they've caused in Gaza. But I don't agree with everything he said. I will tell you this again, that if Israel had wanted to wipe out Gaza entirely, they would have done it October 8th. Full-blown mass destruction of the entire Gaza region. Everyone vaporized. So they've been trying to wage a war in a way to lessen any civilian casualties. And if the president, former president, believes just simply releasing videos of buildings falling is not helping them in their PR war, well, that's an opinion. I have a different opinion. I don't see it as affecting it one way or the other. It's just, again, video of what is happening. You may have a different opinion. You're certainly entitled to it. Now, of course, our immigration issue continues to threaten our national and personal security. Border Patrol reporting there's something like 180 Chinese recently apprehended crossing the border. 180 in one group. And apparently the Border Patrol says Chinese make up the largest percentage of any country now trying to enter our country constantly. And Texas Governor Abbott addressed the issue in New York City.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott in Manhattan tonight to headline a big New York Republican Party event and fundraiser.
All right, he's also at the center, of course, of the huge immigration debate responsible for busing thousands of migrants from the Lone Star State to the city. Fox 5's Morgan McKay live in Midtown with the latest. And Morgan, protesters were waiting for the governor tonight.
Steve and Natasha, a small group was gathered here outside the Hilton protesting the event. But Texas Governor Greg Abbott's presence here tonight sending a message on how Republicans plan to seize on immigration concerns this election cycle. Now, the ticket price to get into this annual GOP fundraiser was $1,250 per person.
The complaining by Mayor Adams is nothing short than stunning.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott seizing on the opportunity to point fingers at Mayor Eric Adams while in New York City, highlighting why he believes Republicans will be able to pick up seats in November. The migrant crisis.
Yeah, it's going to be a very big issue. So New York City Mayor Adams held a news conference. He got a question. I don't know if it's pre-planned, but it was a softball, and he thinks he hit it out of the park.
I was wondering if you could comment on Governor Abbott being here today.
I'm going to take executive privilege and answer your question. You know, I'm going to offer him a stay in one of the Herks so he can see what he has created and understand how we are treating people with the dignity and respect that he should have shown as well. And I'm not quite sure why he's here and what he's doing while here, but he's going to see how you can manage the crises with coordination. Not one child or family sleeping on the streets of the city of New York. And when we coordinate together, we should not displace problems to local municipalities. That is not what executives do. And it's unfortunate that he made the decision to do that.
He did not do it. Biden did it. And I'll guarantee you there are still men, women, and children sleeping on the streets of New York. Now, maybe he's talking about no illegals because we kicked other homeless people out to make room for them. And he's also guilty of sending illegals to other cities. And he stands there piously, oh, we know how to handle it. You don't know how to handle anything. And Texas Governor Abbott was on Hannity last night making points.
The invitation is nothing more than a gimmick. And what I would suggest to the mayor of New York is there are people dying on his watch. Law enforcement officers who are being gunned down by people who have been arrested 20 times. And he needs to take charge and make sure they keep behind bars dangerous criminals who are killing his fellow New Yorkers. He also needs to educate Americans and New Yorkers why he's spending their taxpayer money to house migrants here illegally because of Joe Biden's open border policies. 4 years ago, New York nor America had to do that because President Trump had in place policies that denied illegal entry. Joe Biden is directly violating the laws of the United States of America, and that's exactly why Texas has a border crisis and why New York has a border crisis. That crisis is not going to end unless and until Joe Biden enforces the laws of the United States.
Good. That would be a great start. And, of course, he's right. Adam saying, we're going to offer him a chance to stay in a migrant shelter. And when New York City Mayor Adams says, we know how to take care of people with respect and dignity, you were spitting in the face of your own New York City U.S. residents. Hey, in the next hour, a interesting take on the solar eclipse coming Monday. You don't want to miss that next hour. Later in this next hour, the next segment, CDC information unveiled. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What's underneath those horse race numbers? Well, a really dismal approval rating of President Joe Biden. He's at 38% approval, 60% disapproved. That's across all seven of the battleground states. How does that compare with Trump's approval rating in terms of asking people now how Trump handled the presidency? And this, you see, a much more evenly divided nation here. 51% approve of the way Donald Trump handled his job as president. 47% disapprove across these battleground states.
That is a CNN report on how Biden is still hanging on, despite across these seven battleground states, a majority of Americans, a majority, approve how Trump handled things and the economy better than Biden. And then today we got some new jobs numbers. And as you would expect, CNN, NNN, and the other state-controlled media ramping it up because they're getting more and more fearful Trump is going to end up winning. So anytime they get the inkling of any kind of good news, blow it up. Blow it out of proportion. Now the stock market is making a rally off these numbers so far. But when we look at these numbers and you start taking a closer look, which they're not going to give you in full detail, and I'm not an economist. I'm not going to propose to be one or even act like one, but I'm telling you these numbers are not as good as they would have you think. Yes, there's an increase of what they expected, and here's the way they are writing it on CNN and NN. I'm going to give you the source again so you can check it. 303,000 jobs added in March brings the 2024 average to 276,330 three jobs per month. Got to add that three in because that might be you and two buddies. And they say that's more than what was seen last year, an average of 251,000, so about 25,000 more monthly, and well above pre-pandemic averages. It brings a question, how much of this growth is sustainable? The other part of it that's kind of hidden in this, a lot of these jobs have been added in the past, as they've counted them, and I have not seen the breakout yet, also involved federal jobs. But if these are simply and truly civilian jobs, that would sound good, except many of these are probably part-time, but they're still counted as a new job. a new hire. And there might be some that took a new job as part-time to supplement their income they're making full-time or another part-time job. That's at the base of all of this. They want to continue to gloss over it, that if we trumpet it loud enough, jobs are everywhere and increasing. And yet CNN even admits in its own report here, immigration has increased the size of the job market. So what kind of skills and what jobs are being offered and at what pay? Well, now we know in the state of California, they passed a law and the governor signed it into effect. It began. Franchise fast food operations must pay minimum $20 an hour. You know the result of that? Some of the California citizens were going to a local bakery or coffee shop they often went to, and it's closed. They can't afford to pay $20 an hour. Even if they're part of a franchise, it's mom and pop owned. And they can't make that. They can't bring enough people in. Or they begin to cut shifts. Or they begin to cut hours of each person, much less the shifts. Or they close. But again, I'm presenting it as CNN wants you to grab this story so you don't dig too deep into it. The latest jobs report came in hotter than expected, showing the U.S. economy added 303,000 jobs last month. Unemployment rate fell to 3.8%, according to the Labor Department. Now, the numbers they're citing are correct, but it's what's under the numbers that is the key. And again, they're pointing out, economists expected the March jobs report to show a strong but slowing job market, lower month-on-month growth. The latest employment snapshot comes after 11 rate hikes from the Federal Reserve to better rein in inflation, which is still rampant for many. You are basically compared to, let's go back to 2019, when Trump was wrapping up his term. You have lost something like $4,000 in purchasing power. If you've got no additional raises or anything else, but the cost of goods have gone up, you and your family have lost about $4,000 annually because of what's happening. So how are you going to get that $4,000 back? Well, maybe you'll get a better job or a higher paying job, or you might have to go enroll in a part-time job, or another member of the family has to go to work. But again, CNN, looking at Bidenomics, they want to point out that these battleground states, seven decisive battleground states, they even had to admit it still may not spell victory for Joe Biden.
And the economy, always an important factor. Well, this is a trouble sign for the Biden campaign because across the seven states in this Wall Street Journal poll, only 36% say that the strength of the economy is excellent or good. 63%, nearly two-thirds of Americans in these seven decisive states say not so good or poor.
62% is not so good or it's poor. CNN had to admit that's not so good for the Bidens, right? It's, you know, it's got to be really tough on those guys when they've got to come forward with facts and say, well, the real story is Biden killed your cat or something of that nature. But let's put a good spin on it. You can always get another one, maybe. You might not be able to buy food for it. Or in time, you'll forget about it. Everything will be good. No. Things don't change overnight like that, and it's not going to change overnight for our nation, unfortunately. If Trump were elected today, whether you like him or not, and you think he's going to do great things, I like to believe it's definitely going to be 180 degrees from where we are and going back to where he left off, picking up things that need to be completed. Keystone Pipeline, there are really good-paying jobs doing that, and all the communities along the way that would benefit. And going back to oil reliance only on the U.S., that we don't have to depend on someone else, all of that would be good. And the problem that the Biden administration did for the first 2 years, so it's all COVID. We've been locked in on the COVID issue. And they continue to still raise that from time to time. And you want to get under the skin of Jill Biden. You want to get under the skin of Jill Biden. She was on CBS Mornings, and there was a suggestion based on what you were just hearing from the CNN stories, surveys about all the battleground states are not looking good for him, and especially when it came to economics. And Jill Biden is right back in the face.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So, you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
Well spoken as a loyal wife and someone who wants to stay in power. But when folks really start focusing, as she said, and see the choice, really look at the choice, I don't think so. I would tell you last night at this GOP gathering for St. Louis City, I met at least two, maybe three off the top of my head, and there might have been more that had said they had been Democrats. And two of them were black. Their race meant nothing. It's just I was interested, you know, glad to see that the party is embracing everyone. And one in particular said, why should I continue to vote like my great-great-granddaddy did and his daddy and my daddy before? And he said, we got to change things and we're not going down the right road. I mean, he said it as succinctly as that. And regardless of your color, your heritage, your ethnicity, your grandparents or anything else, you're at a point in this nation, you've got to look out for you and your family. You care about others, but unfortunately, it does come down to, I want to help your family. I want to help children starving around the world. But first, my family. You hate for it to come down to that, but that's reality. At least if you care about your kids and your family. I mentioned a moment ago that there was a new report involving what the CDC was hiding from us during COVID. It's been unveiled by a judge who said, make that public. And they did. I'm going to break that down for you coming up. And also, before we wrap up this hour, get ready to stand strong and be brave as we face going into 2024. I'm not sure you'll be seated when we finish this hour. You'll be up and yelling and shouting. You don't want to go anywhere. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, we are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Even China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At newstalkstl.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. Down, down on my knees and begging at feet to learn a little bit more. All that woman taught me to pray. I saw heaven every day.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, as I was telling you, the CDC has had to release some information, previously hidden reports and information. Now, the documentation for this is available in numerous locations, but I'm citing specifically as it's compiled by Zachary Stiebler with Epic Health. So again, I give you a source so you can verify and check and see, well, Larry's kind of making some of that up. What I'm going to tell you is probably not going to be that surprising to some of you, maybe many of you. But the main point here is, once again, accountability. One of the questions got asked to me last night while I was addressing the St. Louis City GOP, how are we ever going to trust in the media again? Good question. My response, not that I'm so smart and sharp, but my immediate response is, how are you ever going to trust the FBI, our government in general, the CDC? We have these agencies, and we do need them at right times under proper restraint. And the CDC is important to our national health and advising us what we should be doing and avoiding harm, things of this nature. But when you weaponize them like they did during COVID, this is what you get. Again, Zachary Ziebler, I hope I'm pronouncing it correct, maybe Ziebler with Epic Health. Here's the way he writes it. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention just released previously hidden reports of facial paralysis and other adverse events following COVID-19 vaccination. Now, I know personally some folks who said they had facial issues or some kind of muscle paralysis, maybe not even the face, following their vaccination. And it went away, and maybe some still have it. 780,000 reports were received shortly after the COVID vaccines were rolled out and show people experienced a wide range of post-vaccination issues, including heart inflammation, which we've heard about repeatedly, miscarriages, which was one of my big concerns, because if they were saying it's only good for children 6 years or older, well, the fetus is certainly not that, even if you draw it to 6 months, which they did eventually, and seizures. We've heard that reportedly. One person that's part of this documentation being released says loss of consciousness and seizure immediately following injection, went to ER by ambulance. Do you know others who possibly did that? Another one stated, diagnosed with Bell's palsy today due to left-sided facial numbness and paralysis. All these folks lodged the reports with VSafe. That was a text message system created by the CDC to monitor for possible side effects of COVID-19. So they had an opportunity and a way to get the reports in. But the CDC for years declined to make the VSafe data public, instead pushing studies that described the reports as providing reassurance about the safety of the vaccines. However, according to data released in 2022, nearly 8% of 10 million users required medical attention or hospital care after vaccination. Others reported missing school, work, or other normal activities. And I know several like that they had a reaction. I didn't. And remember, I wasn't even going to get it until my daughter has made me promise that I would, because we lost a dear relative who's about 15 years younger than me. So I did it only because of them. Now, back in January, the same judge who ordered the release of that data ordered the agency in January to disclose free test entries from a different section in which individuals could describe their experience. This judge, for what it's worth, was appointed by Donald Trump, dismissed the government's arguments that processing the responses and redacting sensitive information would require too much work. Well, isn't that tough? That's your J-O-B. It's too much work to notify the American public of a threat? And they say the first two batches released 780,000 reports of some 523,000 people, including dozens with reports of heart inflammation, hundreds of facial paralysis, thousands with reports of tinnitus that they didn't have before. So 523,000 people, but involving something like 780,000 cases reported, some people having multiple issues. Multiple set people did say things were so bad they were struggling with suicide. One individual wrote, and again, this is what they sent to the special report section set up by the CDC to understand what's happening. I don't know if they're offering any help. I do know they apparently were hiding it until now. I had to make it public. One individual wrote, "For 24 hours after the shot, I was so fatigued I could not stay awake. I also have very strong suicidal thoughts. Zero appetite." Now that's, again, one person. And that's what we've been told repeatedly by those who say, "Oh, everything's good. That's just one story." Well, when you multiply them over and over again, you got an ant bed full of people that are suffering. Another said they experienced symptoms of an allergic reaction and stated in their report, "I read where this vaccine should not be administered to anyone allergic to PEG. I'm allergic to it. It would be incredibly reassuring if someone would call me, as all I've run into is dead ends." In other words, here you can file your report, but don't expect an answer back. Come on. First of all, it's going to involve too much work. The free text portion of these surveys was the only place where you could report adverse effects, even including heart inflammation. Even though the CDC knew the vaccines might cause these events, previously released documents have shown. Now, again, this is from Epoch Times, and they're just simply documenting what's been released. Other documents show the CDC became aware of the vaccines causing myocarditis, heart inflammation, and a related condition, pericarditis, as early as 2023, but hid the knowledge from the public. Well, we were talking about it, but at the same time, the CDC was just mum's the word. The judge, in saying this needs to be opened up, he said the fact that a lawsuit was needed, I'm taking back. The judge is not saying that. This is a co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center telling the Epoch Times, after looking at this data, the fact that a lawsuit was needed to compel the production of the V-safe data is, quote, "yet another shameful chapter in the decades-long history of federal health officials trying to cover up vaccine risk by ignoring patterns of vaccine reaction symptoms and reports made to the government." When people report the same symptoms over and over again after getting a biological product, in this case, shortness of breath, heart palpitations, which are symptoms of myocarditis, that has been casually linked to mRNA COVID shots, the public should be warned, not be kept in the dark. It raises questions about what else are they hiding. Now, these free text entries apparently are not dated. One attorney representing the group looking at it said, "Now we're seeking actual dates. We know the entry started with some of the earliest vaccines released, but basically the CDC was declining to answer many questions, including even the dates of entry. Why? Because they knew what they had, and they knew what they were covering up. And it's just going to be, oh my God, just too much damn homework to pull it all together to help the American public. Yes, we've lost trust in the media. We've lost trust in agencies of our government we used to have in high esteem, the FBI, CDC. And we're doing it at our risk of our nation and our families and our safety. This is the government we have in place right now. Do you want it to stay that way? Oh, I hear you. My God, I hear you. Not only no, but hell no, I agree. If I asked everyone listening in the car right now to start blowing your horn, I know everybody's going to turn and look at you. What's that about? If they follow you to the gas station, let them know. Larry Connors, USA, News Talk STL, that's what that's about. I wanted to close this first hour out with a rally call for us anyway. Something we need to hear that gets us ready for battle to keep our nation secure. Now, I'm not making a call for physical altercations. But you know what America is facing right now? We're facing the woke, the progressive regressives, or regressive progressives. They both fit. They're all trying to destroy the fabric of our nation. They're trying to control you, your family, your kids, and their future. I've got a perfect sound piece to get us rallied and roared up when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton? Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Right? Against that?
No!
We will run!
And we will live.
Die?
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live.
At least a while.
And dying in your beds many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
You may well recognize that as Mel Gibson in Braveheart, the 1995 movie that got released, and talking again about freedom. The story at that time, basically dealing with Sir William Wallace, a 19th century Scottish warrior who led the Scots in the First War of Scottish Independence against King Edward of England. Making it clear, you're going to have to fight for your freedom. You came here to do that, and you will possibly die. But that is a price to be paid for freedom. That rally call reflects what we've done in our nation at every stage where we've encountered direct threats to our nation, Americans. Until recent years that we've seen more of a let's not upset anyone. Now, again, this is dramatized. Probably a lot of poetic license in writing what he said and how he did it. But the amazing scene of him on a steed prancing back and forth in front of his troops, saying that you may well die. You could run, you can live. But then when you're on your deathbed many years from now, would you look back over the years and say, I wish I could trade all those years for that one day when I would have fought instead of run? Our nation is under siege, is under invasion. And one of my prayers every night is that God protect our nation, and that no one inside our nation or outside our nation, now or in the future, is able to kill this nation. That we cannot be killed because we're not protected by the armor of flesh. We're protected by the arm of God and his armor. And they can not even severely damage our nation. That's my prayer. That the enemies of this nation, be they inside or outside, now or in the future, fall upon their own swords while trying to destroy what we have built and as we try to maintain it. And if anyone is allowed to dramatically change our nation, they should be those who are willing to take us back to a more innocent time, strip away the wokeness and everything else that's been fostered and shoved in our face and our children. And I take great heart in hearing that many young high school students, juniors, sophomores, seniors, freshmen, are recognizing you've got to stand for something instead of always give in. They need your support as well. You don't want to miss the next hour about the solar eclipse. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.